ज्ञानतिमरन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
So happy to see you all. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome to everyone online. Really happy you're out there because it's our intention to expand this Sangha going on hearing and chanting. Junior asked me when I was coming, what is Krishna Katha? And I said, spell it, K-A-T-H-A. And it reminded me of the way one of my godbrothers, I told you, Katha. It always sounds to me like a kind of drink. And it's like, it's so nice to drink the Krishna Katha because it makes one, well, you never know what it's going to do. Because Krishna is unlimited and his topics are unlimited, his qualities are unlimited. And that's what we're really looking for, something that's not mundane and stale. Like we're always used to what happens in the material world. In our heart of hearts, no matter what we're getting here, one always things, same old thing, over and over again, hoping that there'll be a little more taste out of it the next time. But it's always the same beverage in a different vessel, that's all. But Krishna's always new and always fresh. It means you never know what you're going to get exactly. It's unlimited. And so it's exciting to hear about Krishna, and that even when one is sick, and one doesn't feel good, if one has faith in the doctor and in the medicine, it's very exciting to take it. Even though it may not work immediately, your life changes because you understand now I'm in good hands, and now I'm taking the medicine, I'm doing everything that I can do in order to overcome the disease and so forth. And there's a kind of invigoration even in that. And what to speak if there's some sign of health, of some sign of recovery, that's very encouraging. Even one day one wakes up and feels a little better than the day before, then one sees one's future. And so the future of those who are hearing Krishna Katha is mentioned over and over again in the Shastra, that they're becoming Amrita, deathless. But even more than that, they're overcoming the dread disease of the heart, which is lust and envy. Such biting envy pervades the material world that it doesn't allow us to appreciate the happiness, the success, the glories of others and so forth. And that's a miserable way to live. And just by hearing about Krishna, Vikriti tam vrajava dubiraham cha vishnu shradhanvito nashinu yadata varna yedya bhaktim param bhagavati prati labhya kamam Rid Rogam Ashva Pahinot Yacharina Dhira. Shukadeva Goswami says, by hearing the playful activities of Krishna and the cowherd girls of Vrindavan, then one comes to the point of the supreme service to the Lord. Vikriditam Rajavadu Birahamcha Vishnu. And he mentions the name Vishnu. It's after all, he's the above everything in the material world. And Krishna is very specific. He's the fountainhead of all the other Vishnu tattvas. But in this verse, it's Vikriditam Rajabhadur Virahamcha Vishnu Shradhanvito. If you do it properly, means Shradhanvito, means with faith. It also means if you follow the proper process by taking guidance and shelter and continuing in the association of devotees to hear. Shradhanvito nashrinu yad atavarna yadya. Those who hear it and those who speak it, they get benefit. Atavarna yadya. Bhaktim param. You get, it leads to the highest perfection of bhakti. Bhagavati pratilabhya kamam rid rogam. Ashvapahinot. Acharena dira. Very quickly, acharena, one's heart can become freed from the desires for enjoyment in the material world. As Prabhupada puts in one purport, that one gives up gradually one's long-cherished desire to dominate material nature. We were thinking also, when I was talking to some devotees and traveling, about how much the acharyas in their prayers, and we're talking about prayers this week, analyze their own state of mind. Take time to look at their own state of mind. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Raghunath Das Goswami, to name two, in their prayers, talk about what is the state of my consciousness. Bhaktivinoda's looking, and he's analyzing, of course, for our own benefit, the state of consciousness of subtle attachment to the material world. He's not attached. He's a Paramahamsa, but he's an Acharya, and he's teaching us. And he talks about how I've wasted my life, how attached I am, how joyful I am when others suffer, how unhappy I am when others are successful, and so forth. And Raghunath Das Goswami is noticing the subtleties of pride and how that destroys his ability to be a humble servant of Krishna. And by becoming aware of them and praying to Krishna, please remove these obstacles, then one very consciously moves forward on the path of devotional service. And also, by hearing over and over again about Krishna and his pastimes, this verse says, the one I was just reciting, that like medicine, the heart is cured. So today, we have the honor, pleasure of reading from the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, ninth chapter. We are going to have some readings, but tonight we're starting off with looking at the prayers. Canto 7, Chapter 9. The prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And of course, these prayers are very frequently quoted by Srila Prabhupada. And they're in a very nice meter, easy to chant. So these are prayers that devotees can take with them and learn. Feel very satisfied. We're starting with text number one. I'm going to read the prayers all together, and then I would like you to listen very carefully and note one that has a particular meaning to you, and then bring it up, and then we'll go deeper into that particular prayer. Text number one. The great saint Narada Muni continued, "The demigods headed by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and other great demigods dared not come forward before the Lord, who at that time was extremely angry. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, was requested to go before the Lord by all the demigods present, who because of fear could not do so. But even she had never seen such a wonderful and extraordinary form of the Lord, and thus she could not approach him. Thereafter, Lord Brahma requested Prahlad Maharaj, who was standing very near him, 'My dear son, Lord Nrsingadeva is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord.' Narada Muni continued, 'O king, although the exalted devotee Prahlad Maharaj was only a little boy, he accepted Lord Brahma's words. He gradually proceeded toward Lord Nrsingadeva and fell down to offer his respectful obeisances with folded hands. When Lord Nrsingadeva saw the small boy Prahlad Maharaj prostrated at the soles of his lotus feet, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. Raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. By the touch of Lord Nrsingadeva's hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, Prahlad was completely freed of all material contaminations and desires, as if he had been thoroughly cleansed. Therefore, he at once became transcendentally situated, and all the symptoms of ecstasy became manifest in his body. His heart filled with love, and his eyes with tears, and thus he was able to completely capture the lotus feet of the Lord within the core of his heart. Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Nrsingadeva with full attention in complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice. Prahlad Maharaj prayed, "How is it possible for me, who have been born in a family of asuras, to offer suitable prayers to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Even until now, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma and all the saintly persons could not satisfy the Lord by streams of excellent words, although such persons are very qualified, being in the mode of goodness. then what is to be said of me? I am not at all qualified. Prahlad Maharaj continued, one may possess wealth, an aristocratic family, beauty, austerity, education, sensory expertise, luster, influence, physical strength, diligence, intelligence, and mystic yogic power. But I think that even by all these qualifications, one cannot satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, one can satisfy the Lord simply by devotional service. Gajendra did this, and thus the Lord was satisfied with him. If a brahmana has all 12 of the brahminical qualifications as they are stated in the book called Sunat Sujata, but is not as a devotee and is averse to the lotus feet of the Lord, he is certainly lower than a devotee who is a dog eater, but who has dedicated everything, mind, words, activities, wealth, and life to the Supreme Lord. Such a devotee is better than such a brahmana because the devotee can purify his whole family, whereas the so-called brahmana in a position of false prestige cannot purify even himself. The Supreme Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in himself. Therefore, when something is offered to him, the offering, by the Lord's mercy, is for the benefit of the devotee, for the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. Therefore, although I was born in a demoniac family, I may without a doubt offer prayers to the Lord with full endeavor as far as my intelligence allows. Anyone who has been forced by ignorance to enter the material world may be purified of material life if he offers prayers to the Lord and hears the Lord's glories. O my Lord, all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are sincere servants of your Lordship who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. My dear Lord Nrsingadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditioned life? O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combinations with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. My dear Lord Nrsingadev, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hansas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. My Lord Nrsingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect a child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature, being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance. Everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, and the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for obtaining this goal, all are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and the energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of karmakanda, fruit of activity in the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter of your lotus feet? My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control, and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My dear Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence, and enjoyment. But I have seen all these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who is so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. My dear Lord, now I have complete experience concerning the worldly opulence, mystic power, longevity, and other material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities, from Lord Brahma down to the ant. As powerful time, you destroy them all. Therefore, because of my experience, I do not wish to possess them. My dear Lord, I request you to place me in touch with your pure devotee and let me serve him as a sincere servant. In this material world, every living entity desires some future happiness, which is exactly like a mirage in the desert. Where is water in the desert? Or in other words, where is happiness in this material world? As for this body, what is its value? It is merely a source of various diseases. The so-called philosophers, scientists, and politicians know this very well, but nonetheless, they aspire for temporary happiness. Happiness is very difficult to obtain, but because they are unable to control their senses, they run after the so-called happiness of the material world and never come to the right conclusion. O my Lord, O Supreme, because I was born in a family full of the hellish material qualities of passion and ignorance, what is my position? And what is to be said of your causeless mercy, which was never offered even to Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, or the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi? You never put your lotus hand upon their heads, but you have put it upon mine. Unlike an ordinary living entity, my Lord, you do not discriminate between friends and enemies, the favorable and the unfavorable, because for you there is no conception of higher and lower. Nonetheless, you offer your benedictions according to the level of one's service, exactly as a desire tree delivers fruits according to one's desires and makes no distinction between the lower and the higher. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant, Narada Muni, kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? My Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He had said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. My dear Lord, you alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation. For you existed before the creation, you exist after the annihilation, and you are the maintainer between the beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, whatever exists externally and internally is you alone. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by you, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of your energy. Although the entire cosmos is but you alone, you keep yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya. But because everything is an emanation from you and is therefore not different from you. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is non-different from you, and the annihilation is also caused by you. This relationship between your lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation of the creative energy, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karnadakshai Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects, although you appear to sleep. This sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. This cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti, and thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. You awaken from the bed of Shesha, Ananta, and from your navel a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated, but Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. He could find no trace of you, however, for when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. Lord Brahma, who is celebrated as Atma Yoni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, heads, hands, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You were very nicely dressed, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extended from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. My dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitaba, who were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. My dear Lord, my dear Lord of the Vaikuntha planets, where there is no anxiety, my mind is extremely sinful and lusty, being sometimes so-called happy and sometimes so-called distressed. My mind is full of lamentation and fear, and it always seeks more and more money. Thus it has become most polluted and is never satisfied in topics concerning you. I am therefore most fallen and poor. In such a status of life, how shall I be able to discuss your activities? My dear Lord, O infallible one, my position is like that of a person who has many wives, all trying to attract him in their own way. For example, the tongue is attracted to palatable dishes, the genitals to sex with an attractive woman, and the sense of touch to contact with soft things. The belly, although filled, still wants to eat more, and the ear, not attempting to hear about you, is generally attracted to cinema songs. The sense of smell is attracted to yet another side. The restless eyes are attracted to scenes of sense gratification, and the active senses are attracted elsewhere. In this way, I am certainly embarrassed. My dear Lord, you are always transcendentally situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only upon me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, original spiritual master of the entire world, what is the difficulty for you who manage the affairs of the universe and delivering the fallen souls engaged in your devotional service? You are the friend of all suffering humanity, and for great personalities, it is necessary to show mercy to the foolish. Therefore, I think that you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. My dear Lord Nrsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Maun of Vrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of your lotus feet. Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itch. Grihamethis, so-called grihasthas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness, although actually it is a source of distress. The kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of brahmanas, are not satisfied by repeated sensuous enjoyment. Those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching are not subjected to the sufferings of fools and rascals. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are 10 prescribed methods on the path to liberation. To remain silent, not to speak to anyone, to observe vows, to amass all kinds of Vedic knowledge, to undergo austerities, to study the Vedas and other Vedic literatures, to execute the duties of Varnashrama Dharma, to explain the Shastras, to stay in a solitary place, to chant mantras silently, and to be absorbed in trance. These different methods for liberation are generally only a professional practice and means of livelihood for those who have not conquered their senses. Because such persons are falsely proud, these procedures may not be successful. By authorized Vedic knowledge, one can see that the forms of cause and effect in the cosmic manifestation belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for the cosmic manifestation is his energy. Both cause and effect are nothing but energies of the Lord. Therefore, O my Lord, just as a wise man, by considering cause and effect, can see how fire pervades wood, those engaged in devotional service understand how you are both cause and effect. O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, earth, fire, sky, and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything subtle and gross. The material elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. Neither the three modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, nor the predominating deities controlling these three modes, nor the five gross elements, nor the mind, nor the demigods, nor the human beings can understand your lordship, for they are all subject to birth and annihilation. Considering this, the spiritually advanced have taken to devotional service. Such wise men hardly bother with Vedic study. Instead, they engage themselves in practical devotional service. Therefore, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the best of all persons to whom prayers are offered, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you because, without rendering six kinds of devotional service unto you, offering prayers, dedicating all the results of activities, worshiping you, working on your behalf, always remembering your lotus feet and hearing about your glories, who can achieve that which is meant for the Paramahamsas? The great Saint Narada said, thus Lord Nrsingadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger, and being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances, he spoke as follows. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings. And therefore, you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. My dear Prahlad, may you live a long time. One cannot appreciate or understand me without pleasing me, but one who has seen or pleased me has nothing more for which to lament for his own satisfaction. My dear Prahlad, you are very fortunate. Please know from me that those who are very wise and highly elevated try to please me in all different modes of mellows, for I am the only person who can fulfill all the desires of everyone. Narada Muni said, Prahlad Maharaj was the best person in the family of Asuras who always aspire for material happiness. Nonetheless, although allured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead who offered him all benedictions for material happiness, because of his unalloyed Krishna consciousness, he did not want to take any material benefit for sense gratification. Shri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Shri Nrsingadev ki jai. Narada Muni ki jai. Gaur Premanande. So we notice that as the chapter opens, that it's Narada Muni describing, and all the demigods had tried to pacify Lord Nrsingadev and were unsuccessful. Even Lakshmiji, who didn't recognize her husband, was a little bit afraid of the situation. And therefore, out of a sense of desperation, they pushed forward Prahlad Maharaj and asked him to pray. My dear son, Lord Nrsingadev is extremely angry at your demoniac father. Please go forward and appease the Lord. So he's just a little boy, and he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nrsingadev. Then this verse number 7 says, Astaushid dharame kagra manasa susamahitaha prema gadgadaya vacha tanyasya hridayekshanaha. So this a very significant preamble to all the prayers. Ashtaushit, he began to offer prayers. Ashtaushit. Harim, under the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekagra manasa, the mind being completely fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. We find a verse in the first canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, with one-pointed attention. Go ahead, Shrana.
Tasmadeke namanasa bhagavan satvatam pati shrotavya kriti tavyascha deya pujasya nityada.
So this means that one should, with one-pointed attention, worship the Lord. So this is an important aspect of offering prayers. If I'm thinking of something else, or if I'm saying them with out of focused mind and heart, then they would not be so effective. We find sometimes that in the most dire situations, when we're afraid or we realize our foolishness, suddenly by being chastised, or we make a huge mistake and we feel like we've lost everything. And 2 seconds before, I was thinking that I was such a smart person, then I realized I lost everything. So there are so many ways in which suddenly one can become sober and fixed and feeling a necessity to call out to the Lord. And in any case, one should be fixed like this. Ekagra manasa, tasmari kina manasa, bhagavan sattvatam pati, shrotavya kirtitavyasya, tyeya puja chanityada. With one-pointed attention, one should worship the Lord. And then susamahita, very attentive, without diversion to any other subjects. Susamahita. And prema gadgaraya. So gadgaraya means like we sing in the Gaur Artik, right? It's that the prema gadagada, gadagada. There's a way that, you know, it's imitating the sound as a anumanapiya, that the voice is stuttering out of prema, out of love. So it's one of the symptoms when one can barely speak, feeling overwhelmed by this emotion. So this is a very sweet prayer. Prema gadgaraya vacha. So with a voice that is faltering because of transcendental bliss, he's saying these prayers with his mind completely fixed. And this is a result of one who has what we call integrity in solitude. IIS. Integrity in solitude means that my practice goes on whether people are watching or whether the weather is hot or the weather is cold, doesn't matter. This is how one develops this mood when one comes before the Lord, because he knows that the Lord knows that one has served without faltering. And the Lord knows also that the devotee knows. And so this is this very powerful connection. If one is very true to one's vows, when one comes before the deity, then there's a powerful reciprocation. And one can therefore offer prayers with full mind and attention. This is not something that one can suddenly muster, although it is always possible. But for those who are constantly engaged in devotional service, this comes as a natural outpouring of feeling between the Lord and the devotee. Prema gadgaraya vacha tad nyasta, being fully dedicated to him, Lord Nrisingadev. Tat nyasta. Hridaya ikshana, with heart and sight. Hridaya ikshana, with his heart and sight. So you get the impression from this first verse how Prahlad Maharaj is offering prayers. This is the right mood to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. With mind completely fixed, one dedicated, confirmed. That was really nice music for this heartfelt appeal. That that one is fully giving one's heart and mind, you know, in the prayer. And the faltering voice. So Prahlad Maharaj fixed his mind and sight upon Lord Nrisingadev with full attention in complete trance. With a fixed mind, he began to offer prayers in love with a faltering voice. Purport. The word susamahitaha means very attentive or fully fixed. The ability to fix the mind in this way is a result of yoga siddhi, mystic perfection. As it is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.1, Dhyana vastati tatat gatena manasa pashanti yam yoginaha. One attains yogic perfection when he is freed from all material diversions and his mind is fixed upon the lotus feet of the Lord. This is called samadhi or trance. Prahlad Maharaj attained that stage beyond the senses. Because he was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated, and naturally his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. In that condition, he began to offer his prayers as follows. What a purport, huh? So here, one attains yogic perfection when his mind is free from all material diversions and his mind is fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord. So being free from all diversions, material diversions, is mentioned by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that those Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam daya prahita chetasam yavasayatmika bhurir ekeha kudanandana. That the person who is distracted by the lures of material nature And I say lure because I saw a lot of people fishing when I was in Japan. I walk along the river and there are these people out there just wasting time fishing. Someone would just catch the fish and throw them back in, because I doubt anybody would eat them out of that river. That would be really dangerous. But they have all these lures, and you know, they look like little minnows, but they have hooks hanging all over them, all over the thing, and they toss it in, and the line's invisible. So it's invisible line in the water. Somebody thought all this stuff up just to be like, I'm going to get you, you know. I see you down there, and I'm getting you, and I'm going to eat you. You know, so they try to catch them, and they throw them in there, and then the fish see the flash of the lure, and they go, that's something, that's really something, and they go, bow, you know, it's a, bah. And next thing they're like pulled out of the water, and all this trauma going on, and the light of the air, and then, you know, I don't want to go into the rest of the details, but it's pretty heavy. So these material diversions are like that. They pull us in different directions. We see the flash of them, and if you're not trained to restrain yourself, and then you get caught by those and pulled in all different directions. In that case, it's really hard to meditate. Gandharvika.
Prabhuji, when Devamrita Swami came, he also talked about the weapons of mass distraction. So even though we try to be, Giriraj Maharaj, the other day he was saying, he asked one of his disciples to find something which would take 5 minutes. But he didn't come even after 30 minutes, and he went there and he saw that he was going all over the places in the internet. So he was saying how one should be very focused, because those are the weapons of mass destruction. So how do we really attain this stage when there is so much diversions?
Well, you have to have your goal. Like it's in this verse, the devotee's goal is Krishna. He's meditating. He knows where he's going, what the goal is, and therefore he can't be waylaid. When you're fixed on a certain goal, you know, you're going from here to here, then in between you can forego many things because you have your mind fixed on the goal. So when we lose sight of that, then we can become distracted by many other things.
Because today technology is so easy, because in olden days, even we are reading Bhagavatam, but we hear some fancy things, we feel like, oh, I should have maybe that one. And it's just one click away and you go and search for those things. So it's so like, and then you realize after so many hours so time is wasted. So how does one, like at that provoking situation, how do we remain attentive and focused?
You mean being on the internet?
Yeah, that's our job, actually.
Well, one thing is you can take a vow not to go outside certain boundaries when you're on the internet, knowing that it'll allure you in different ways. You know, there, instead of restricting, you can either restrict altogether and not go on, then you might be a little out of touch. Or you can say that, you know, decide ahead of time what your parameters are and then enforce it. Because a yogi is one who is able to act according to his or her plan. So you make a plan and say, I only visit Dandavats and I only visit, you know, or if I'm looking at Facebook, I'll only check and see if somebody sent me a thing. But you better be real careful. If you know you can't do it, better to, you know, not go there at all. And just decide ahead of time, these are the places where I can go. And then, you know, practice that little victories. Because the mind says, let's just go check this out. Let's watch that little thing. And then just make a little victory and say, let's do something else instead. And set it up ahead of time. Like, have something else to do. Like, if you have your chapter to chant, you know, divert your mind to that. Because you'll get a higher taste from doing that rather than mindless activity, something you weren't planning on doing. And it really helps to have a clear goal of what you're going to finish every day. As Sankhya Purvakanama Gananati Bikalavasani Krito. The Goswamis, they counted everything and they kept engaged in finishing what they were going to do. And that really, I mean, if you noticed here at ISV, the years, decades are actually ticking by. Those of you who have been here since the beginning. And really, we go from one festival to the next, just focused on what's the next goal. You know, we've got to finish our goal. And we'll just keep doing that until we drop off. I mean, you know, and that's how you get out of the material world. You got to fix yourself on a goal. And if you have to, it's do interim goals and just like get to this one, get to this one, get to this one. And know that, you know, each one, it keeps you going. You got to have a spiritual goal to make up for all these other attractions and distractions in the material world. Frame or be framed. That's what Guy Kawasaki says in his book, Art of the Start. So you got to frame what your life is before someone else frames it for you. They'll say, here's what you guys are. I say, we already know what we are. Here's what we do. Here's. So in yoga, you have to decide, who am I? What's my frame every day? You decide for yourself what your frame is. Don't let some other bozo decide for you. Because they're all fishing for you. They got their lures out. They're going, we're going to catch one of those guys. And they're going to click on this thing. And next thing you know, we're going to catch them. You know, they're trying to catch you. Don't be a fish. Try to avoid that.
I was also remembering Devamrita Swami. He mentioned the example of Hanuman, who went to Lanka and he saw all the opulence of Ravana's palace and the queens and everything. But then he could bring back that his goal was to go and look for Mother Sita.
Yeah. He had a service to do. He's fixed in that. Nice example. So this is an important point. One's fixed, one who's freed from material diversions and his mind's fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord can really offer prayers. And then Prabhupada calls that samadhi. And Prabhupada says, because he was engaged in service, he felt transcendentally situated, and naturally his mind and attention became saturated in transcendence. So service is the key. We have to be engaged in the Lord's service, and he reciprocates for those devotees who are engaged in service, and we're able to be saturated in transcendence. In that condition, he began to offer prayers as follows. So then in the first few verses, he questions his ability to offer prayers. He's thinking, why am I qualified to offer prayers? Because he says that, first of all, so many other experts have just offered prayers to the Lord. There's a very big difference between Brahma and all the demigods who came forward. You'll see in the previous chapters, each one comes forward and offers prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev. And he wasn't appeased. He wasn't satisfied with them. And Prahlad Maharaj points out that they were excellent prayers. They were in perfect Sanskrit, perfect meter, everything. He says, what can I do? I'm not qualified. I'm just a kid, and I come from a demoniac family. I don't have all this special training that all these demigods have and the pedigree that they have. And then Prahlad mentions that you may have so many material qualifications. You may be very learned and have wealth and so forth, but if you don't have bhakti, you don't have anything. And he remembered how Gajendra, although an elephant, had some simple bhakti, and because of that the Lord was pleased. So then he gets encouraged, and he also mentions how, and this is a very famous verse, number 10, Vipradvishadguna yatad adavindanaba, is a verse which oftentimes people say that in order to really worship Krishna, in order to be a Brahmin, be successful in spiritual life, you have to be born into a Brahmin family and so forth. It's a big thing. And Prahlad Maharaj is saying here, not true. He said if someone's born as in a dog-eater's family, if they have devotion for the Lord, then they can purify not only themselves but their whole family. And if someone has all the qualifications of a Brahmin but isn't a devotee, doesn't believe in Krishna and so forth, they can't even purify themselves. Then Prahlad Maharaj says that the prayers we offer are not for the Lord, but they're for us. Because he doesn't need anything. He's self-satisfied. And when we offer, then we get benefit. And then he gives the example that when you look in the mirror, you see a reflection. And we're like we are a part and parcel of Krishna. So when we give to Krishna, then we feel satisfied. And we give our heart and soul and our service to Krishna, then we'll feel some satisfaction. So just in the very first verses of this chapter, we get an idea of the mood in which we should offer prayers, which is with full attention and having served the Lord properly. And then if one is feels oneself without any qualification, one can remember that the only qualification is sincerity. And if one sincerely cries out to the Lord, please help me, please direct me, and so forth, he'll answer. He's right there within the heart. Tarejiti tanaijiti tadure tadvantike tarantarasya sarvasya taru sarvasya syabhayataha. Supreme Lord walks, does not walk. He is far away, but he is very near as well. He is within everything, and yet he is outside of everything. He's available at every moment, but it really depends on our receptivity and the mood in which we're offering prayers. Now, let's hear which prayers you were interested in or any comments you have about the prayers. If you have a particular one you latched onto, let's hear what it is, and we'll go through it. Yes, Junior?
Haribol, Prabhu. I just wanted to comment that I like that saying in the beginning where it said the solution to the miseries are more miserable than the miseries themselves. It's like, wow. It's like Zen.
Yeah. Thank you. Prahlad is giving a lot of philosophy in the prayers also. And it's amazing too because he's a 5-year-old boy. And it just shows how transcendental knowledge transcends any kind of situation. Where's Sri Ram? Hare Krishna. Oh, here he is. Let's please welcome, if you haven't already, Sri Ram Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So nice to see you. Thank you for coming. Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji.
The miseries are more, the cure is worse than the disease itself, you know, trying to cure the disease. We see this over and over again. The worst place to go when you're sick, no, I hate to say this, but it's the hospital. Because so many people end up worse off or dying in the hospital because of infection these days. It's the most contaminated place anywhere, and there are super bugs that live in there. Because there's so many antibiotics used in the hospital that you oftentimes there are unintended consequences in the cure. It's very, very difficult. Yes, who else had their hand up?
So Prabhuji, one quick point was like how he's thinking about his disqualification, but around 12th verse, he's like considering his qualification and he says that Gajendra did this, so I can do it. So from this, we can understand like a devotee, like though they feel humble, but still he comes up and does a great job of offering such a nice prayer to the Lord, and that's very inspiring.
It is. It's really important, the point you just made. And I'd like to read the purport to this about Gajendra. The purport number 9, no kind of material qualification is the means for satisfying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can the Lord be known. Bhaktyamam abhijanati. Unless the Lord is pleased by the service of a devotee, the Lord does not reveal himself. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrataha. This is the verdict of all shastras. Neither by speculation nor by material qualifications can one understand or approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We know the story of how Lord Krishna was offered a huge feast by Duryodhan, but he didn't want to take it. It was a royal feast. But then he went to the house of his pure devotee, Vidura, said, you know, please feed me. And Vidura's wife was home. She wasn't prepared or anything like that. And you know, what do you have? Bananas. That's all I have, bananas. So she started peeling the bananas, and out of her kind of ecstasy of Krishna being there in excitement, she gave him the peels and he ate them. Because that's what he's taking the love, he's not taking the substance itself. And therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati taraham bhaktyuparitam ashnami pariyatatmanaha. Three times he says bhakti, 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 bhakti. That's what I'm tasting is the bhakti. And in the prayers, it's the same, that he's tasting that submission, that surrender of the devotee when he's offering prayers from his heart. It's the one thing, that's what Krishna wants from us, is that mood of selfless surrender and love to him. Otherwise, everything else is insignificant. He doesn't need anything else. That's what one of the next prayers says. Krishna doesn't need anything else. He doesn't want anything else. The only thing that we have that's really valuable to him is when we turn our attention to him out of our own free will. Out of our own free will, we decide, I'm surrendering. I'm going to give my full attention and offer, you know, something to the Lord. Yes. A text.
Actually, continuing on the topic of surrender, there's a text from Pratibha Mataji from Sacramento.
Oh, she's good.
Sent to Haripo. Oops. And she likes text number 22. And she's...
A wise choice.
And she is and she's quoting from there, I'm being crushed by the wheel of time, and therefore I surrender fully unto you. What I really liked is, what respite we have in this world of dualities except surrendering to the Lord.
Right. Otherwise, through one's stubborn nature, oftentimes people are being crushed by the wheel of time. And Prabhupada gave the example once on a morning walk, that people become so stubborn they won't give up even when they're being crushed or killed or whatever. So he said these two men were walking along by the side of the river, and they saw a piece of paper on the ground and it had a bifurcation in it. So one of them said that was caused by some scissors, and the other one said no, it was obviously made by a knife. And then they got a more and more argument over it. And then they ended up fighting, and then they ended up falling in the river. And the one that was arguing for the knife was stronger, so he grabbed the other one, he's pushing him under the water. And as the other man was drowning, he put his hand up above the water, and he went like this. And so there's a way. We can see in the heart of a conditioned soul that there's a tendency for the stubbornness, that even though being crushed, how are you? Fine. Stoically, I'll hand it. I just won't believe in God, and I'll go in my own way. I won't turn my face towards Krishna. And then there are many philosophies invented in order to support one's position and so forth. Yes. Yeah, please.
So Sukeshwari Mataji is also on the phone, and she she's on the phone and. So she's saying that it's very difficult to control the mind, kind of talking about what Gandharvika Mataji was commenting earlier on. And she said, I really need help in that area. We have Radha Venkat Prabhu from Sacramento. He says a Hari Bol, and he has a request for you, especially in the context that we are talking about Narsingham Dev. He says that in the Denver Sangha, you had talked about the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taking the form of Narsingham Dev. So he was saying if you could repeat it one more time for the benefit of...
One day at Srivas Pandit's house, long, long ago, Srivas Pandit was a pandit. He knew all the shlokas. And this is mentioned in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, that the Vaishnavas are not without knowledge of all these shastras and all these procedures of how to do the Pantratrik Vidhi. And that came up in the Mahaprakash, 21 hours when Lord Chaitanya revealed his supreme nature. And he sat on the altar and he gave benedictions and he accepted offerings. People brought him food from everywhere and he just ate everything. Gallons and gallons of Ganges water and milk and bananas, and he kept saying, anything else, anything else. In any case, mention there how learned the Vaishnava devotees are, even though they mainly chant Hare Krishna. And one day, Srivas Thakur was chanting the Vishnu Sahasranam Stotram in his house. Yasyas marana matrena janma samsara bandhanat vimuchyate namastasmai vishnave prabhavishnave namaha samasta bhutanam ari bhutaya bhubrite aneka rupa rupaya vishnave prabhavishnave Om Vishnam Vishnav Shatkaro Bhutta Bhavya Vava Prabhu Bhutta Bridbar Bhutbhavo Bhutta Ma Bhutta Bhavanaha Bhutta Ma Paramatma Cha Mukta Nam Paramakati etc. It's such a beautiful prayer. Carry one's mind away. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was listening to this, and when Srivas Thakur came to the name of Lord Nrsingadev, suddenly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assumed the form, the mood of Lord Nrsingadev, and he picked up a club and he ran into Navadvip to kill all the atheists. And people were running hither and thither all over the city to get away from him. And then he realized that he was creating fear in all these people. So he came back to Srivasa's house, threw away the club, and he said, "This is an offense to make, to cause fear in other living entities." And Srivas Thakur said that anyone who saw you at that time got the highest benediction just to see you. So I also, you know, from hearing these prayers, the Vishnu Sahasranam, the Lord is affected by these. When he's listening, he hears these different names and becomes ecstatic. And even as in this pastime, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assumed that form. So there's a lot in these prayers about controlling the senses, this being crushed by the wheel of time. Very nishpijamanam upakarsha vibho prapanam, very poetic language, very stark about, you know, the situation in the material world Prahlad Maharaj is laying out for us as a little boy. But you can feel the sobriety in which he's speaking these verses. It's very medicinal to hear the logic behind these things. For instance, what Junior mentioned about how the cure is worse than the disease itself, and how we're being crushed by the wheel of time and so forth, and how difficult it is to control the senses. Yes, Mukharavind, and then Priya Kishori.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, and welcome back to ISV.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
We are also very happy. And continuing the same pastime in which, like, one of the very authentic verse that we quote, like how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Channa Avatar in the 38th verse, when Prahlad Maharaj says the Channa Avatar, Channa Avatar Kalu, and in the three, Lord is known as Triyuga, and the Kaliyuga, he doesn't take the direct guidance, but he takes as a form of Channa Avatar.
So shall we look at the verse 38, is
38,
it?
38, yeah.
Yeah, this is another very important verse. It's one that the Goswamis, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipanosha Dharma Samstapako, they went through all the revealed scriptures, and then they showed how this Gaudiya lineage coming from Chaitanya, how Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this has to be brought out by some experts, the Sunipuna, those who are expert in the Shastra, and they're able to go through everything. And this is one of the verses that they've produced from the Srimad Bhagavatam, showing the incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 38. Itam ritirya grishi deva jashavatarer lokan vibhava yasi hangsta jagat pratipan dharmam mahapurusha pas yuganavritam channakalau yadababas triyugo tasatvam. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. I don't know if you noticed, when I was reading this English, I just sort of, when I read this line, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I just sort of laughed a little bit, because I was appreciating how when you get translation and commentary from the Bhaktivedanta, the one every word makes a difference. And he's saying, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality. But someone else might say, you just don't appear in the, you know, there's no incarnation in the Kali Yuga, but you don't assert yourself, meaning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't assert himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is. Purport, as the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitava, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas or millenniums, Satya, Trita, Dwapara, and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna, because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, in many Vedic literatures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32. Krishna Varnam Twasha Krishnam Sangopangashtra Parshadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates, such as Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhar, and Srivas. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principles of the Sankirtan movement, inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedas, a person with substantial intelligence. So this is one of the verses mined from all the Shastra by the Goswamis and presented to us to show how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he doesn't assert himself in Kali Yuga. Damodar Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
Few times I have been thinking, so I think Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Krishna, that is clear. And but it says there is no incarnation in the Kali Yuga. How do we bring in harmony the appearance of Gautam Buddha with the context of not an avatar in Kali Yuga?
Pardon? Leela avatar. Yeah, that question. This question came up in another class, didn't it? And I think you were in the front row and said the same thing. Because Leela avatar, not Yuga avatar.
Even the Lord appeared as Buddha, he did not kill anyone.
And that didn't qualify him to be counted as an incarnation? No, are you referring to some commentary?
Yes. Yeah, could you because elaborate? In the same verse it says that like you do not appear and you did not kill anyone.
I see.
In this verse.
Okay.
I remember I asked it the previous time.
That's what you asked the previous time, right? Did you have a point? Okay.
I really liked how in the translation it said, I'm just concerned for these poor fools and rascals and I with love for them, and I don't want to be liberated on my own. I want everybody to come be liberated with me. And Prabhupada uses the same word, poor fools and rascals, many, many times. So I like that.
Yeah, we've appreciated many times during our festival for Nisringa Chaturdasi, that the mood of Prahlad Maharaj in serving Krishna is that he wants to make sure that everybody else gets an opportunity to come closer to him. This is really the mood of the Sankirtan movement. In the spiritual world, there's the quality of generosity. In fact, mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how the the most intimate devotees of the Lord are interested in seeing others come close and having service and association with Krishna. And they're always making arrangements. Srimati Radharani herself is making arrangements so that others can come closer and so forth. And Prabhupada mentioned many years ago how this is the mood of book distribution. Well, there was a devotee in Los Angeles at the time who was spearheading the push forward in book distribution, and he was preaching about how this book distribution was in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, the most exalted devotees, and that this was Lord Chaitanya's Leela, because he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Karuna Bharite, overladen with mercy and distributing it to everybody. And somebody wrote to Prabhupada to clarify whether that was a little too esoteric or not. And Prabhupada said, no, this is the right understanding, that this book distribution is in the mood of, and Sankirtan is, Lord Chaitanya's Leela in the mood of the gopis and so forth. And we see Prahlad Maharaj has this same mood of compassion, that he wants to save everybody and give everyone a chance. He's not satisfied just for himself. And Prabhupada was very much in that mood, that he came to the big cities and towns when somebody was, we had a center in Hong Kong and got closed down temporarily because there wasn't enough manpower there. It was a very difficult place. And the devotee came and told Prabhupada that, you know, we had to close the center. And Prabhupada said, go back, open an office and sit and chant Hare Krishna. Keep it open and keep the vibration going in there. Because he didn't want to say, you know, he couldn't stand it for a second to know that that population wasn't getting exposed to the vibration of the spiritual world. And that's the preoccupation of the Goshtiyanandis and the preachers who are in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. He really means that he couldn't go to the forest by himself and just try to relish this mood. And not only that, he said, those who do that may not be successful because they may become overcome by pride and think, I'm such a big yogi. I'm so advanced, I can sit here and just chant and so forth. And they may not be successful because of that. But those who painstakingly stay in the cities and practice Krishna consciousness and at the same time go out to the cities and give out Krishna consciousness. I was looking out of the airplane window coming back into San Francisco, and I was thinking, everywhere I go, you look and see the same thing, all these development of houses and apartments everywhere, and what's everybody doing in there? We know, because we go door to door. I mean, I was thinking, the sewer systems for these things are huge. And they're in there just living, like living entities, but there's not a lot of spiritual knowledge or anything like that inside. It's a stark existence, but our vision should be that Lord Chaitanya has arranged everything in rows like this so we can systematically go. I mean, there's numbers on the door so you can count off that you went to every one of them and everything. If everyone lived in the forest in random places, it would be a little hard to get to everybody. But, you know, this should be, we should think like Prahlad Maharaj. Let's take full advantage of the city and systematically make sure everyone gets Krishna consciousness. And that's substantial service. And one who does that can feel it. Just like after our very intense marathons that we do here to distribute a certain number of books, when we come to make this offering before the Lord, everyone feels joyful in their heart. And they feel that they've made advancement in devotional service, significant advancement, because they've taken the trouble to do that. That's real service to the Lord, because his whole mission of the material world is to give every living entity a chance to turn his, her attention back to him. And he doesn't get involved, so when his devotees go out and do that, they become very dear to him, and the rewards are great. So this, what we're doing here at ISV and throughout ISKCON, which is, you know, taking the medicine and also going out and giving to as many people as possible, is the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, which Prabhupada was very much attached to. Shraddha.
Maharaj, I have a question and a comment, both on the same verse. It's verse number 28.
Okay.
So there Prahlad Maharaj says that because of my association with material desires, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, but your servant Narad Muni accepted me as disciple. And then he says, therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? So I was very much, you know, impressed by his dedication to his spiritual master, that he just doesn't want to leave him. And my question is that why does Prahlad Maharaj say that because of my association with material desires, I'm falling? Because when you hear about his lifetime, from his very childhood, he didn't seem to have material desires. He was like opposite of his father.
I mean, there's some story about him in a previous life, how he was, how he had come, you know, to this position, fasting on Ekadashi and so forth. But, you know, in one sense, he's speaking for everybody else as a liberated soul. Liberated souls, like we said earlier, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he prays and he says, I'm completely fallen and I have no position in spiritual life, he's exhibiting the, you know, for the benefit of everyone else, what it is that's the, what is the nemesis of the soul in the material world and so forth. Yes, Melanie? And also, your first point was really well taken. Throughout these prayers, he doesn't claim to be a direct servant of the Lord. Even as he's praying directly to Krishna, he's saying, please let me serve your servants. I'm the servant of your servants. I'm Britya Sevam, he says. I'm the servant of your servant. And not that, I'm your servant, but I'm your servant of your servant. How could I ever leave the servant? So this is the proper mood of prayer for the devotees also. Not that it's just me and Krishna, because there are some prayers we see throughout the world that it's, you see the person who's praying and he or she is only writing about, I was there, Krishna was there, that's it. But the Vaishnava prayers, you'll find that they're like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in one of his prayers says that I want to be a dog of a Vaishnava, and the Vaishnavas will tie me up on the porch. They'll attach me to the porch of their house, and I'll stay out there and I'll ward off anybody who comes to try to disturb them, and they'll throw their scraps, any remnants that they have, they'll just throw them over the porch, and that's what I'll eat. This is the mood of the devotee, servant of the servant. Malini.
Prabhuji, 2 points, Prabhuji. The first one was the point that Prahlad Maharaj was saying, that father and mother cannot protect the child. I was just recently thinking that if somebody gets a small virus and they are suffering some pain through it, and we have an advanced medical system now where there is cure for everything, and you call the doctor and the doctor says, sorry, it's a virus, we can't do anything, you just have to ride it out, you just have to go through the pain, and the parents are seeing the suffering of a child, but they're helpless, We even ask the doctor, is there anything that we can give for the relief? There is nothing. You just have to let it go. So I was just thinking how parents, they cannot protect their own child, even though they want to. They cannot see the suffering, but still they can't do much in that case. So that was one thing. And the second one was tendency for stubbornness that we all have. Last week when we went door to door, we met a person who was, when we said ISKCON, we are from ISKCON, he said, that's nice. And then we started talking about Bhagavatam. And he, no matter how much we explained, he was very stubborn. He was, we were saying this was written 5,000 years ago. Show me where it is said that this was written 5,000 years ago. He was very stubborn. He didn't want to accept it. And then we were saying, okay, you don't take it, but take it for your child. His son is very inquisitive and he wants to learn. Just take it for your son. Then he says, I don't want to force this knowledge upon my son. He was very stubborn. He didn't want to take anything. So I was just thinking that being stubborn like that, we came to this material world like thinking that, I don't want you, Krishna. I just want to be here. Krishna says, no, this is not good for you. But still, no, I want to go back to this material world. So it's just
very nice points. SKP.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. That reminds me, We went to a door, Prabhu, in Fremont that as soon as we knocked the door, he's having a different kind of a yoga system at his home itself. So he's having some students and followers. And as soon as he knocked the door, he said, come on in. I understood there is something wrong here. So I was only with few devotees. I asked Vittal, Prabhu and all to come, please get them in. So I know there is will be a big like controversy here. So as soon as he started, Prabhuji, he asked, what is your goal? What is your goal? What is your motive? Teacher, you have to search for a teacher, or you are going and teaching everybody. So he's, and then I said, what is your goal? We asked him and said, my question to you is not that you are again questioning me. So finally we spent more than half an hour, Prabhu. But one point he mentioned that is, I'm taking this Srimad Bhagavatam because of not, you're all very sincere. You are here in my door and you are spending your time.
So he took it.
Yeah, he took it. So he gave all $250 in a cash and he said, you are following very sincerely. That makes, that feels me also, Prabhu, that our preaching is, Prabhupada says that just it's our books will take care of them. So just be in the present of the door and you go and sincerely present to them.
I like that point, Sri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu, that sincerity shows, people notice it. Krishna notices it, as we heard in the early prayers. Prahlad Maharaj says, just be sincere. And when we present to others also, they can notice it as well. Very nice. Yes.
Probably looking at these prayers, I was thinking that, you know, I'm no qualified in even to how to pray also. No qualification, because what I understand is it even for prayers, we should have a lot of realization. In the fourth canto, during that Prajapati, Daksha doing all the yajna, that's what got spoiled, and finally Vishnu came. And there is a series of verses talking about how the Brahmins prayed, how the demigods prayed, how the other prayed. Finally, Brahma's prayer was the highest that time. Right? So even I heard from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, the realization in that way, Prabhupada has a highest realization. That's why he can speak and glorify Krishna. So in that way, I feel I don't have any qualification. I don't know what to pray. So please help us how to pray and what to pray.
In one of Prabhupada's small books, he says that one should go to the Lord and open one's heart and say, I'm being tossed in the waves of material existence like this and like that, and reveal one's mind and heart to the Lord. I'm qualified for that. You know, everyone can feel the toss of the waves of the material existence. You know what it feels like. And you also know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and so you can go before him and say, this really hurts, you know. I mean, I'm really suffering here, and this is how I'm suffering, in this way and that way, and I wish I could be a better devotee. That's a sincere prayer, according to the level of your realization. Birds fly in the sky, says Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, as high as they're able to fly. But the sky's unlimited. I mean, Garuda can fly so high in the sky that we can't even see him practically. So, you know, if a little bird can fly, it's appreciated by the Lord. According to what you can do, according to your realization right now, sincerely offer prayers and they'll be accepted. If they're very sophisticated but you don't have any sincerity, then, you know, what is the use? We're coming back to you. Okay, go ahead, Vishakalila, and then Hansapriya, and then we're coming back to Shyamalangi.
So this particular verse Shraddha Mataji was talking about, Prahlad Maharaj saying that my association with material desires. So I was reading this first chapter from third canto, in which Vidura's past life, you know, I mean when he was in the palace, that was described. saying that, you know, Vidura was actually giving good instructions to Dhritarashtra, and Duryodhana came and asked him to leave the palace. And then he starts, you know, he goes out of the palace immediately and goes on travels to various holy places. And one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that even though Krishna was present on earth, Vidura doesn't go to meet Krishna, but rather he thinks that I am contaminated due to my association with Dhritarashtra and the Kauravas. So he travels to these places in order to purify himself, because he thinks I am not purified enough to go and meet the Lord. So he then travels to all the holy places and then finally meets Uddhava. And I was also thinking that in the prayers of the Acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see that most of his prayers, I've observed that he says that I'm tossed, you know, in this material ocean, and I'm in a deep, dark well of, you know, material illusion, and when will the day come when I can, you know, really surrender to the Lord. So I was thinking that's the mood of a pure devotee, that when they say this, it doesn't mean they're actually in illusion. They're actually associating with material desires, but it's just that, you know, it's just a sincere humility which is coming out. They're also giving us direction as to how, you know, because we are already in that situation of deep, dark, you know, ocean of material existence, and this is how we can pray. And the other point that Prabhuji was asking about what to pray and how to pray, in our last year's seminar on power of prayer, we had the small card, I remember, it says what to pray and how to say, and we were quoting this verse, I think from the next chapter, 10th chapter, where, because this chapter ends with Narasimhadev asking a benediction. And Prahlad Maharaj says, if at all you want to give me any benediction, please remove the material desires from the core of my heart. So that, I just remember that.
Yeah. Also, we have a prayer from Preeti Maharaj who says, I don't know what to ask for, because if I ask for something, the idea of it is I'll ask for the wrong thing. So you decide what I need. That's also a prayer. You do whatever you like, basically. Just decide and you know, those are also prayers, very daring kind of prayers. Thank you very much. Nice points.
I really like the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. It's just so beautiful, so sweet. And I think it's so many little things, but very much we can relate to, like such thing as that it says that, you know, we're getting crushed by the wheel of time. And we know that, but we know that we can get out of this. And that actually makes me feel, gives confidence by hearing the Prahlad Maharaj's prayers.
Nice. Thank you very much.
Haribol, can I just say one thing? The Prahlad Maharaj, his prayer, he asked for his father to be saved. Wasn't that the what he asked for? After all?
Yeah, and then Lord Narasimhadev said that he's already saved all his generations. So then he said, if you want to give me anything, then make it that there's no material desires within my heart.
Yeah, this is just a comment. Before the prayers, there are some verses which talk about Narasimhadev's hand. Like, you know, it's on anyone's head, like it brings fearlessness and makes the person free from all desires and I think cleanses. So I just like that very much, like about his hand. So maybe when we pray, we can remember that.
Prabhupada mentions in that regard in a lecture on that verse that when Lord Narasimhadev places his hand on the head of Prahlad Maharaj, it's a very touching scene. He said, but there's no difference between that and us chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, because in that case, he's also personally touching us as well. So there's something to remember. Sukeshri. And then Shalabahu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Very nice class. And I was just thinking about, you know, I had the same question as one of them who, when they asked about stubbornness, you know, it is such a, you know, we understand, we read a lot of scriptures. We know that we have to control our mind and, you know, it goes on happening. But I feel with me, it goes on a sine wave. There are times when you're able to do it and there are times when you don't. So what, I probably asked this question so many times, what is it that takes us off from the stubbornness?
Well, we have to get some mercy from the Vaishnavas. When we can get some, you know, mercy from devotees, we often see sometimes that people who are very stubborn, just like when Sri Krishna Purushottam Prabhu went into the house of that person, and then he could tell right away that they were stubborn. Because he was sincere and because he's actually practicing devotional service, it has an effect on melting the heart. And getting around advanced devotees has that kind of effect on the heart of that stubborn heart can melt by the association of devotees. So we should pray for the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We pray Vancha, Kalpaturubhascha, etc. You know, that please give me the shelter of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. And we can take advantage of that. Pray that we can get good association and take advantage of it, because the Vaishnavas can actually change our heart.
Thank you, Baba.
Shalabahu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is last week we have Bhakti Sundar Maharaj was here, and when he speak, several points was very keynoted, and one of them things hit me. He was telling an old story when people come into Prabhupada and telling them, you know, Prabhupada, I am the most unfortunate, I am the most fallen, I am most unlucky. And he said, you are not most anything. And I think that is, you know, in terms of bhakti life, we need to keep that point.
Yeah, really nice. That mood of I'm insignificant. I'm very insignificant. Praying from that position is extremely fruitful. And beginning one's japa as a practice, remembering one's insignificant situation and also helplessness is very helpful in chanting with full attention. Because I am helpless, but I'm thinking through false ego that I'm okay. And then I have everything under control. And remembering that is very powerful. And getting such, you know, slight chastisement from the spiritual master, reminder, you're not the most anything. That's the benefit of advanced association also. You know, those very subtle, you know, instructions like that one can keep in one's mind and heart. So we can see just from this one chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, there's an entire education in the process of devotional service. Recommend that you print these prayers out. We have them formatted, right? So you can, Shraddha Devi Dasi will put them out in a link for you, so you can download these prayers and print them if you like. Or if you're attached to an electronic device, you can load it onto that. And recite them whenever you can. They're very magical and powerful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. And we'll continue on Saturday and Sunday with different topics about the power of prayers.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman. Hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.